Well, good morning and welcome. And thank you all for standing and joining in with that. That was a great start to the service. And you are all very welcome here on Father's Day. Hopefully I won't see any panicked faces who need to run to the garage for some chocolates and a card, and that'll be fine. But you are really welcome to be here this morning with us. As we join together, we are in God's presence. We're always in God's presence. But let's pray as we come to Him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for everything that you do. Lord, we know that you are with us in the dark times and the light times, and that you are the Father who runs with open arms. So, Lord, we pray that you be with us this morning. Make us your children and draw us close to your heart. For those who need it, Father, we pray that you would lift them onto your lap and sit them close to your heart. And Lord, that you would be a blessing in all of our lives. Father, we know that we don't always come to you in the right place, but we are here, Father, and we want you to minister to us by your Spirit and your love. And Lord, we pray that you would be with everyone who's either participating or observing the service this morning, that we would be a fellowship together. Amen. Little verse, very sort of popular verse to read to you, having already mentioned Father's Day. It's just the last little bit of chapter 15 of Luke. And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. So there is a party in heaven going on when we come to God and we acknowledge him as our Savior. And we're going to do that through communion this morning as well and join together. And we will all be a part of that great family. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And this first one sort of echoes those verses. "Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?" So do stand if you're able, or remain seated, and we'll sing together.
I was lost, but he bore me in all his love.
let those words sink in. I'm a child of God, and we are indeed. And again, thinking about that first reading, our next song says, "You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are a good, good Father." Father, you are there for us at all times. And Lord, we want to walk closer to you and step in your footprints and be with you at all times. Amen. Please do take your seats. I've already mentioned we are moving on to communion in our service too. So we've still got the children with us, so I need to ask an important question. I also need to ask for a bit of help this morning. So if there were any volunteers who might come down, but Let's, it's snagged this morning. Let's not. Oh no, Percy Pig. Fallen off. Whatever it is. Are there any children who have a birthday or who have had a birthday in the past few days? We're getting quite close for Tallulah, aren't we? Close, but not. Oh, we've got one over there. Okay, come on over. Oh, sash and all, I didn't even notice. That's my bad. Sorry, there we go. Birthday girl. So, and what, you're 16, and what's your name? Okay, so, well done. I know we've got Pauline with us. We did mention you last week, Pauline, but Pauline had a big birthday that ended in a no last week, so it's worth mentioning that again. And I also mentioned in the notes that Peter and Marion had their 55th wedding anniversary on today. I don't know who's wearing the biggest halo there, so I won't go into that. There we go. But it's good to have you with us, and there's quite a selection in there, so do help yourself to something there, and we will sing Happy Birthday and celebrate you and celebrate Pauline as well. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Brilliant, well done, thank you. Perfect. Now, as I've said, I might need a bit of a hand if I had a few young, not that kind of hand, if I had some young people who were, or children who were down here that would help me give these out to all the gentlemen. We want to say Happy Father's Day to all of the fellas present. You don't have to be a dad to have one of these. We are celebrating our men folk today. So is anyone going to come down? They're coming. Okay, so we have got a video to watch while this is going on. There we are. JJ, just all the fellas, get one of those, okay? Oh, well, thank you, Farah. All of the fellas, and I have another box here. You hey might kids, want to, mom one to more carry help and then one some to hand out. So you can hand them out, go along the road.
Hey. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Oh, I would love one hour with you. 1 hour of just being with you, then I could say,
kiss her, Daddy, kiss her.
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh.
Mr. Clamps has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
Goodbye, Mr. Clamps.
No.
All right. Just slow down a little
Dad,
bit.
Dad, stop yelling at me.
I don't think that. Oh, okay. Okay. All right, and that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees.
Thank you.
phone.
Yeah. I am so proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow! No.
Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful inside and out.
Whatever. Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future, this right here goes to you, and this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
He just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you. One, two, Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job. He can make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
Hopefully the gifts have made their way upstairs now, and they stretched that far. And we will also welcome you back to teas and coffees afterwards, and hopefully everyone will have a biscuit or so then. So we do appreciate you. Thank you for running those up there. Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? We know that you are our Heavenly Father, Lord. And we know that we have an earthly father too, and that you model how they should be. And Father, we do thank you for those in our congregation who father us, who parent us, who mentor us, who buddy up with us. And Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given them to enable them to do that. And Lord, as we come to communion now, we want to praise you as our Heavenly Father and know that your time and your love never run out. Amen. We are going to head into communion now, and we're going to stand, if you're able, and sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love. Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Deacons, please join me as we prepare to serve the elements of communion. There are many fathers in the world, throughout the world, but as we've been singing and as we've seen from that video clip, there's a difference between being a father and a good father. Yes, we can become fathers simply through an act of intimacy, but to be a good father, it takes work, it takes providing, it takes being there for the children. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, He has demonstrated to the whole world how much of a good father He is. For the Bible lets us know that for God so loved the world, that He did something unique and special for the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's how good our Heavenly Father is. So as we partake of communion today, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our salvation, let us be thankful in our hearts for Jesus, but also for the Father who sent His Son. He is a good, good Father. Amen. I'm going to ask one of our deacons to lead us in a prayer. Thanks for the bread and the wine.
Pray. Dear God, please help us to put aside our busy weeks and lives and quieten our busy minds. We thank You for all that You have done and continue to do for us. Thank You for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us by dying on the cross. We thank You for the symbols You gave us of bread and wine to remind us of this and the freedom we have to celebrate Jesus' life, death and resurrection in this way. Amen.
Amen. This table of unconditional love and this meal is freely available to all those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you're not yet at that place, then I would encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he records these words, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you, that the very same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around a table with his friends, his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, 'Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me.'" Well, friends, as you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Have we all been served? If you've not been served, please do raise your hand and one of the deacons will come and serve you now. Okay. In like manner, he then took the cup. And he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant. It's the new testament that will now be in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth the Lord's death until that great promise that one day Jesus Christ will make his return." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, please do retain your cups until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our unity through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith, it was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first, and the burdens of my heart, God of our Lord Jesus, said for you. It was there by faith. Isaiah the prophet lets us know that all of us are likened to sheep, in that we've all gone astray. And God laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquities, the sins of us all. For he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the correction of our peace was upon Jesus. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'm just going to pause a moment. We're still being served upstairs. Make sure everyone is served. Hallelujah. It was there by received my sight, and now I happy all. At the cross, at the, where I first. And the burden, thank you, Jesus, rolled away. It was there by faith. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I am happy. Thank you, Jesus. Let us partake now what represents the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Drink all of it now in Jesus' name. Bible lets us know that after they had partaken, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And there they sang a hymn. And we're going to continue in our service as we continue to worship in that same vein, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, as we continue to focus on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Bev.
Amen. I just want to, if we sing the third verse of that song again, Holy Spirit, and really take in those words, unreservedly have your way. So we all have reservations about letting go and giving God complete control, but if we pray for the children and then they leave us, and we'll remain seated and sing that third verse again as they're going out. So let's pray for them. Father God, we are glad to have the whole family together and all those who believe to join together and take communion, and we know how important that is, Father. So Lord, we pray that you would now be with all of the young people, and Lord, especially Abby celebrating this week. Lord, thank you for them all, and for the children too. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, and that they would enjoy fellowship together in their own way, and that they would be blessed by you this morning. You're their good, good Father. Amen. So if you would like to remain seated, the adults, and we'll sing Holy Spirit, we welcome you, the third verse, and the children can leave us now, please. I'm sure they will have a great time out there. Please do have a look in your sermon notes. There's lots of information in there, and that second page with all the prayer things on. Don't forget to work your way through that during the course of the week. God's word to us in 1 Peter 5 just says this: humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That's what we're going to do now as we join together and pray. Father God, we do come humbly before you. We know that we are nothing without the power of your Spirit and the seal of your redemption on our lives. Father, we do want to come to you as family this morning, and we know that some members of our family are hurting, whether they're hurting physically or mentally or spiritually. Lord, we pray that you would be close to them. And Lord, that specific word says, cast your anxiety on him. And we know that that troubles this world, Father, and it troubles many of us. But we ask that you would receive all that we are anxious about, all that we care about and worry about, and that you would deal with it all in due time. And Father, we look around us in our town and community, and we know that there are many people struggling there. Lord, we pray that you would use us to work in our town and community and to be open-hearted and welcome people into your presence with open arms. Lord, we pray that everyone would have had a warm welcome this morning, and Lord, that you would be working in their lives. Unreservedly have your way. And Father, we bring those big things to you too, that we can in of ourselves do nothing about. Lord, the terrible situations in so many countries across the world. Lord, flooding and fire and high temperatures and low temperatures, and Lord, those who have been bombed out of their own homes and bombed out of the refugee camps that they've gone to. And Lord, those who've been fighting a far greater force for so long now. Lord, we do pray for those countries. We know that Satan is the god of this world and would do anything to upset the balance. We give it to you, Father. We cast all our cares on you. Amen. Before Ricky comes and speaks to us this morning, we are going to sing one more song, stand together and sing that. And it just has such beautiful words. It's tricky, I have to admit. It's a tricky one, but has such beautiful words. It says, I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. So let's stand and go for it together. Oceans, you call me out across the waters.
Wow, someone's crying already. It's not going to be that bad. Hey, I promise. Let's go and quickly pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you this morning. And we just give you glory and honor. Father, we recognize it's all about you this morning, Lord. And we're just thankful for all that you do for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of this sermon is First and Foremost, It Starts with Love. We know love is a tricky word sometimes, but we're not talking about a love that's soppy, that kind of love. It's a different kind of love that we're going to be looking at today. It's a love that, when you're in a relationship with the Lord, comes out of your inner man. You know, I hear so many times people say, God, I love you, but your people, they're really hard to love. You know, we hear it many times. I've heard it many times said, I love you, but your people. But you know what? That's what the Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit is in us, it gives us that love towards each other. Amen? So the scripture we're going to use is from Galatians 5 and verses 13 to 26. It says from 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as we see, the entire law is held on this one commandment, to love your neighbor to love as you love yourself. So we already know that this love is going to be inconvenient to us sometimes. This type of love is going to cause us to sacrifice. This type of love is going to make us lay down some of our plans to help other people in their plans. This is the type of love that we are talking about. But it says that we should do it also humbly. You know, not out of frustration. Sometimes we can go, I had my plans ready for today, you know, but now I've got to drop them for whoever that might be for. But the Lord says that we should do it humbly. You know, one thing I always say, we cannot encounter Christ and remain the same. It's impossible. If I was still the same person I was 12 years ago, then which Christ have I encountered? You can't encounter Christ and remain the same. It doesn't go together. So to love our neighbor as ourselves is difficult. Because in the flesh, you know, it's hard to do that sometimes. But if we're being led by the Spirit, we'll find that a lot easier to do. Because we're allowing the Spirit to lead us into this thing called love. You know, the more we fall in love with the Lord, the easier it becomes to love His creation. So when we go back to hearing about, you know, people saying, actually, it's hard to love. It's all right, I can love you, Lord, but your people. But the more you fall in love with Christ, the more you fall in love with His creation, the more you fall in love with His people. It's easy to love those that you already love. That's not a sacrifice. For me to do something for my wife, that's easy, because I love her. For doing something for my children, it's easy, because I love them. You know? But to do something for somebody that you don't have that type of love for, this is the love we're dealing with, that causes us to show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible tells us that we should esteem each other higher than ourselves. Well, we know full well the world does not teach that at all. The world teaches that you should do what you've got to do to get what you need to get and stamp along, push whoever it is out of the way to get there. But that's not the love we're dealing with. That's not what we're dealing with here. The Bible says to esteem other people higher than yourself. And again, that's tough, especially in the world that teaches us the complete opposite of that. You know, in Philippians 2, I'm going to just quickly read this from the Message version. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. We've all done some sweet talking in our lives, haven't we, eh? To get what we want. Push yourself aside and help others get ahead. Hold on a minute. You mean I've got to come out of the way and let somebody else get that job or that promotion or whatever it is we're looking for? Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. So the one thing we're finding immediately from this word, and as much as it might hurt us, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus and what he wants us to do. You know, and we're living in this place where it's all about us. What can I do? What do I want? What do I need? You know, if I'm going to do a favor for someone, what am I going to get out of that favor? You know, because, you know, we like a return sometimes on some of the stuff we do. But again, we can't do that. It's not about us. You know that song? It's all about you. Well, the world says, it's all about me. And you should do things my way. No, it's not about that. This is about the Lord. You know, you can imagine, you know, if a promotion of a job was coming up, you know, and you was in the line for that, you might want to get the boss, you know, that oat milk latte, you know, that they might like, you know, or you might want to get the boss, you know, some flowers or something, you know, as you're edging yourself towards the front. And then when she tells you that Johnny's got the job, those oat milk lattes, stop. As a matter of fact, I might put some salt in this one for her. You know, do you get what I mean? And then when they stop, the boss will then realize something. They will realize, actually, this was never about me and you in a friendship. This is all about what you could get out of me. And we expose ourselves in that area because, you know what I mean? Because that's what will happen, you know? So we have to realize that what we do out of love. Because of the love of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord reigns in our lives. And because of that reason, we do what the Lord expects us to do. Amen? There's a quote from Stephen Furtick, and it says, "The overriding character traits of Jesus is love, and the entire gospel story is woven with love. Sometimes it's not easy and will require sacrifice, but it's when we love that we are most like Jesus." I love that. It's when we love we are most like Jesus. In verse 15 it says, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed by each other." It's very simple. It's very simple what the word is saying. You know, if we don't walk in love, we're going to destroy each other. Because the flesh will then come back in. We're not letting the Spirit reign, we're letting the flesh reign. And the flesh will want the things that it desires. We hear so many times of people, you know, walking out of church because they've been hurt or, you know, because somebody, you know, has hurt them on all different reasons. But I praise the Lord that in this church, the second you walk in, it's an instantaneous family feel immediately. You can't run from it. The love is, you're smothered, you know, amen to that. We are smothered a bit here. It's awesome, you know. So verse 16 says, "So I walk by the Spirit, and I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want." So we already know there's a conflict going on. There's a conflict going on between the flesh and between the Spirit. You know, there's a saying, it says, "Who's going to win, the flesh or the inner man?" And then they would say, "Well, which one are you feeding the most? Are you in your word? Are you in the presence of the Lord? Are you in the flesh? You're just indulging in the flesh, giving the flesh everything the flesh wants." But we need to spend that time with the Lord and give the Lord, you know, in prayers, in the word, spending time with each other, building each other up, being there for each other. And that's what the Lord is after. You know? And we will be a church where the Spirit in a man will reign in our lives. And you know, when the Bible says to esteem each other higher than ourselves, you guess what? That means nobody in the church will ever lack. Because if I'm esteeming myself higher than somebody else, you're esteeming yourself higher than somebody else. Therefore, the church cannot lack. Because at some point, guess what? Somebody is esteeming themselves higher, you higher than themselves. Isn't it amazing when you really think of it that way? If we esteem each other higher than ourselves and everybody's doing that same job, the church won't lack. It can't lack. Amen? We want to show the world that the body of Christ is a place where we can love despite our own struggles, despite our own judgments, despite our own issues and stuff that we've got going in our own lives. The church is a place where they will find love. They'll find the love of the Father and they will find his people that will love. Amen? Verse 18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we already know what the flesh is after. But we will be led by the Spirit of God. We will be led by the Spirit of God. And the fruit of the Spirit, and its first one is what? Love. Love. There's a reason the Lord put that first. Love. Joy. Peace. Forbearance. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, which is proud, provoking and envying each other. So we have to be in step with the Spirit. To be in step with the Spirit means you need to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to be spending time with the Spirit, to be in step with the Spirit. So it is important that we're doing that and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into what the Lord is telling us to do. It says, love is an action. I've loved many people by words, but it's never followed on by an action sometimes. But the reality of it is, love is an action. And it says, the phrase love is an action, the love is best expressed through deed and not just words coming together. Love is a choice that we make, not a feeling we depend on. How many times do we depend on a feeling as to whether I'm going to love somebody, whether I'm going to show someone grace, whether I'm going to show someone forgiveness or anything like that? It's not a feeling we can depend on. This is not a feeling, an emotion. This is born from the relationship with the Holy Spirit, that when he's dwelling in your life, love can only just come out. It will be a natural thing. It won't be a forced thing. It won't be reliant upon an emotion. It will naturally birth itself from our lives. Amen? Love is a choice that we make. And love is an action that transforms us, and it also shows our faith to others. It really does. It shows our faith to a dying world. It shows our faith to each other when we've got love reigning in our heart. In Mark 12, verses 30 to 31, it says, I love this as well, it starts with, this is the greatest, greatest commandment. And that is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And with all the strength that you've got. We're going to love him with all of our strength that we've got. You might not have the highest strength right now, but whatever strength you've got, you're going to love the Lord your God. Amen? And it says, the second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You see, when people told you about Christianity, they didn't warn you how tough it can actually be sometimes, how tough it can be. But we have an amazing God that is with us step by step, leading us, helping us, guiding us. But if everyone had told us again that the Christian walk was about white fluffy clouds and white little rabbits jumping around, and it's this this amazing feeling 24 hours a day, it's absolute rubbish. There's no other word to it, it's rubbish. But when you can love someone despite what you're going through, when you can show love to your neighbor, to your family, to whoever is in your life, despite yourself being in and downtrodden, you could have had the worst week in your life, but yet I'm choosing to love because that's what Christ would want. Difficult. But it comes easier. The more you spend time with him, the easier it does become. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians, and we do know this is the love chapter. You know, but again, as we say, the love chapter, but when you read it, you know, it's telling us off really, isn't it, in one way, you know. And in verse, if we speak in tongues of men of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, I mean, you're just a walking, talking, you know, what do you want to know today type of person. But you have no love. It says, I am nothing. Nothing without love. We're nothing without love. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my over my body to hardship, I don't do that, you can tell. Just lighten the mood a little bit. That I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You see, on this walk, the Lord knows the heart of every single man and woman that is walking on the earth. And he knows the agenda. He knows the reasons. And let it just be the reason is because the Spirit of the Lord lives in me and I'm choosing to love. I'm choosing to love. So again, it's showing us the importance of our actions when accompanied by love. It does not matter about our gifts, because guess what? They belong to the Lord anyway. God gave you those gifts. He implanted those gifts into you. So love is a choice. And we are choosing to love. So let's look at what love is. Oh, this gets great, doesn't it? Love is patient. Are we patient people? Love is kind. Are we kind people? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. You know, it's not easily angered. It doesn't say don't be angry. You can't get angry. But it's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. That's a hard one for me. I don't know about anybody else. No record of wrongs. It's the first thing I want to talk about when someone's annoyed me. You know? Mum, I need something to tell you. Chantel didn't give me that £1,000 she said she was going to borrow me. She's out of order. Love does not delight in evil, but it what? Rejoices with the truth. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects. We need to protect each other. We need to protect each other. It always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Amen? And at the end it says, love never fails. And if we go straight to 13, it says, now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. It would be the hardest one, wouldn't it, eh? So what shall we do as we come to a close? Let our love be evident to all, not just on a Sunday, not just because we have an agenda. Let it be people that walk into this church, let it be evident we love each other. You see, the thing is, it doesn't start out there. It starts in here. We need to be the ones showing the way, loving each other, protecting each other, being there for each other. And then it will just overflow into the community. It will overflow when people just turn up. It will overflow and people will see, it will be evident of how much we love each other. So the love we're looking at really is agape love. I don't know if you've heard that word before, agape love. And some of the words, as we've gone through already, we know it's not based on emotions, it's not feelings and unconditional. It is unconditional, sorry, and sacrificial. This is the love that Jesus showed, dying on the cross for the sins of the world. It comes at a cost sometimes to us, you know. But the bit we need is to be in tune, being led, being guided by the Holy Spirit. That's the key to this love. That's the key that we're going to need when we need to show it. We need to be in that relationship. So my challenge is this. Can God love his people the way he wants to love them through you? Amen? We'll say it again. Can God love his people the way he wants to love them through you? Or are you going to block that love that Jesus wants to show through us? Let us be a church that allows that to happen. God, you can use me to love your people the way you want to do it. Do it through me, Lord. Do it through us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm going to hand back over to the worship team. And they're going to bring one more worship song. Thank you.
Thank you to Ricky. This last song says that. Well, we got Zach back. We weren't sure we were going to get Zach back, but we did. And it says that, you know, we've got to love God and bless him when there's good times and bad times. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where it's abundant. And then blessed be your name when I walk through the wilderness and the darkness closes in. But we still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's stand and close our service together with this song, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land.
Amen. Praise God. We are going to leave, but just before we pray the benediction, we have two new members of the church to officially welcome and to extend the right hand of fellowship. So Louisa Cowan, if you can come up. And also, is Amateo here? Amateo, come on up. Amen. These two wonderful individuals have decided to join Sitting Bull Baptist Church and to make it their home. It's already been their home, but they want to make it now official as a member of the church. And as you look out, both on the lower and the upper, you have a whole army of faith who are now committed to praying for you and journeying with you through the good and the bad. We're a family. And we don't quit on our family. We ride deep, as the young people will say. We're there in the good and the bad. So we're going to pray for them. And it's my privilege now as minister on behalf of the church to officially welcome you as members of the church. Let me offer you the right hand of fellowship. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Louisa and Amateo. Thank you so much, Lord, that they have responded to the good news of Jesus and they have embraced faith in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that they desire to serve you with the gifts that you have given them. And they seek, Lord, to journey with you, Lord, as a soldier in the army. And we pray, Lord, that they would continue to be blessed as they serve you here, that they would learn more and more about you, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for their families, Lord, as well. We thank you so much for the wonderful way in which their families have also made a wonderful contribution and been a major blessing in their lives and in their walks with you. So we commit them to your keep now. And Lord, as a church family, we are committed to praying for them and supporting them. So we thank you for them now. Bless them abundantly in your service. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please do join us tonight for worship. We have a wonderful evening of worship. And I know the football is on tonight. But we'll finish in good time so that you can go and support the Free Lions. Hey. Football's coming home, right? Please do join us for teas and coffees. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful service and for this time of worship to you. Again, we thank you for all the fathers, all the men, Lord, whether they're natural fathers, Lord, or mentors. We just thank you that you've blessed this church with wonderful men, Lord, who make a positive contribution to community and to kingdom building. And Lord, as we now leave this place, but never depart from your presence until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Bless you.